Welcome to my Wholeness podcast, where I send you messages that help you create success that aligns with your whole self and authenticity. After a decade of providing leadership programs for major companies and high-achieving entrepreneurs, you may know me for my book, This Is How We Rise, or my conference, She Summit. I have gotten to know thousands of you deeply and the mental and emotional battles behind your titles. That's why I have launched Wholeness Coaching, Retreats, and this podcast to help you do the inner work to align your second half of life with what matters the most. Not only do you deserve to feel more joy, peace, power, passion on a consistent basis, our next generation needs you to model it. Enjoy this message. So I'm in this series on relationships for the month of February, and that nothing matters more than people. Nothing matters more than people. And as I root myself in spirit, and as I root myself at the highest level of life view, and what I tell my coaching clients, you know, constantly try to see your life from the outside in perspective, not the inside out, not from the weeds, but keep on stepping out of yourself and looking at yourself, like the age you are, the season you're in, the life stage you're at, and try to focus on what matters the most and pulling them out of the weeds. And that's all a part of my whole self, the journey to wholeness, whole self leadership, coaching framework and leadership framework that I've been doing for many, many years that I certify leaders and people in, but couples and marriages. I want to take this moment to personally share, you know, my perspective on, and I'll talk about specifically marriage, just because I have been now married since 2017. So I guess that is like, gosh, we're 16 years married, I think, if I'm doing the math right. But I want to specifically focus on marriage today and my personal experience of having been married. And I turned 49 this year, April 7th. I'm an Aries, for anybody who's curious. I'm such an Aries. I'm like total Aries. Fire, Ram, all of it. Anyway, so John and I met in 2008. We started basically dating, and we got married in 2012. So we've been together for 16 years, and we've been married for 12 years. Okay, 12 years, yeah. So, wow, I can't even, just even hearing myself say that is sort of crazy, that I've been with him for 16 years and I've been married to him for 12 years. Oh my gosh. Anyway, and we have an almost 7 and 8.5-year-old. So, you know, we've been into parenting for like 8.5 years. So, again, together for 16, married for 12, together as parents for 8.5 years. And we're both entrepreneurs, and we've moved a lot in the last 10 years. So you can imagine, you know, it's been pretty intense. And also, the Enneagram thing that, you know, the personality test, we actually both scored an 8. Which is the challenger, where we're both confrontational. We both need to be right. And let's see. Yeah, we're both type A's. We're both type A's. And so we could be like, hey, look at that beautiful like blue sky. And then one could be like, well, that's indigo blue or something. And then we would argue about the actual correct color of blue it is. So can you imagine, you know, the last decade plus of raising a family with young kids, moving a lot. I'm born and raised in Manhattan. He's from Georgia. Met in New York. We lived in Manhattan together. We lived in the Hamptons together, the Southampton, where the kids were born. Then we moved to Westport, Connecticut for a few years. And now we're in Tampa, Florida. And we did all that in 10 years. Anyway, so, you know, we are, I would say that I looking back, I believe that God chose John for me because he knew that John would grow me, and that he knew that, and I think we all have different and difficult relationships in our lives. And I think between John and my mother He God was like, I'm gonna give you somebody in your life to really totally change the trajectory of who you're gonna become, Claudia, and who you're meant to become and who I'm calling you to become. And what's interesting too about my background is I'm Chinese American. I'm ABC, American born Chinese, and I was born and raised across the street from the South Street Seaport of New York City, Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, but raised in that South Street Seaport Wall Street district, a few blocks from Chinatown, also like got good food nearby. Anyway, so and John is from Georgia, Peachtree City, Georgia, a small suburb south of Atlanta. And it's just amazing too when you think about how our life story and how there's 8 billion people on the planet and just the millions of people, billions of people out there, and how your destiny just sort of like matches you, right, with somebody. And whether or not you're not in the relationship with any more person anymore, or whether or not all the people that we've come into relationship with, right, all the romantic partners that we've had, it's just interesting who God matches you with. And I have to say that I so believed pre, I call it BC, before church and before John, because John started taking me to church. He actually, I didn't grow up going to church. I didn't grow up really, being technically a Christian. My parents believed in God. Being Chinese, I think there was like Confucianism and Buddhist culture, and my parents would talk about God, and they would say, Claudia, just don't worry, pray, and God will always take care of us, and just be a good person, and God will take care of us. Like they were so busy working and trying to provide for the family that they just didn't have a ton of time to take us to church or even find a church for themselves. And really have a spiritual, deeper faith practice. But John was attending Trinity Baptist Church on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And like 61st, I want to say, in Third Avenue. Anyway, and there was a pastor there, Keith Boyd, who just spoke to me and really changed my life. He was so practical, but I remember the first time I went and we started dating. I really had this huge, I was like, oh my gosh, I really like this guy. This guy is definitely might be the one. But he's like, I go to this church on Sunday and you're welcome to come with me, but I have to go no matter what. And I just go every Sunday. And I'm like, sure, I'll go with you. And I remember walking in to church and everybody was singing and they called it worshiping, which I didn't know that that was the term, that all the beautiful church songs you hear, that they're in worship. And people had their hands up, and there was Asians and blacks and whites and all kinds of diverse people, New York City church. And it was a Baptist church, even though, again, very modern, contemporary church. And it sort of freaked me out in the beginning, I'm not gonna lie, a little bit. I was not, I guess I was an atheist. I mean, I believed in God and I believed in a higher power, but I just didn't really ever like just learn enough about it all. And it really transformed my life looking back. But before I even go there and how it changed my life, before John and before church, BC, my parents came to America with nothing. They were like born in China. Civil War happened. Mao took over China, 1949. They fled to Taiwan. And they were raised in Taiwan and they lost everything. And so they really had to rebuild. But my dad came over first and eventually met my mom and brought her over. But bartenders, he was bartending on Wall Street, and somebody gave him invested in his first Chinese restaurant. And that's how it all started. But so people is how plants those seeds, right? People, when we get the help of people, it really does, it can just change people's lives and trajectory and generations to come. But I was raised because of that sort of immigrant survival scarcity mentality. Those were the things that were repeated me all the time. We are Chinese, we are different. And it was just all about Asian tiger family, like just get a good education and make money so you can be safe and survive. But you also got to look the part, You got to also, you know, let's work hard to get you into the private fancy school so you can wear the brands and attend the brands, and so that you can make it. You can make it in America, and we can basically break this generational, like break this, lower citizen, lower human level of like being a minority, being different, being, where at that time too, there was so much, I mean, there still is racism, and discrimination against yellow skin people, Asians, but essentially, you know, I was just sort of primed and programmed to basically, you know, get in with the right affluent groups and go to the affluent schools and get the affluent job, and then that you'll be affluent, and then you'll stay safe and you'll stay secure. And it's all about, you know, and, you know, be exclusive. Like, that's your crew. And talking about just, you know, on the series of relationships that when you meet me today and you've known me for the last maybe 20 years or so, 25 years, you know that I'm this incredibly, I'm the opposite of exclusive. I am the most inclusive person. And because I just love people. And what's interesting is BC, before church and before John, you know, I used to think that I was more stuck up. I was like, well, you know, you've got to, not that I was like, you got to be somebody to know me, but I definitely thought that I was the shit. Like, I was like, and I did trailblaze. I basically was always highly social, highly popular. I created things really young. I built a multi-million dollar company by the time I was 25 years old, and I was on TV, and I, all the bells and whistles, right? I had the title, I had the stuff, I had the apartment, I had Howard Stern as my neighbor, and I just had this crazy life in my 20s and 30s and BC, before church, before John. And so what going to church did to me is it really, really humbled me. And I realized that I had achieved this material success, but that I lacked purpose, and that I was focused on living my life and, you know, just achieving more, earning more, creating more, you know, amassing more, more property. I bought a house in the Hamptons when I was in my late 20s. And it was all about just get to that next level, you know, be somebody, right? And then when I, and that chase eventually starts burning you out. And, you know, when you come home and you just have that like empty feeling, like this loneliness and this lack of substance in your life. And so that's what church filled for me. And I remember going through a very toxic business relationship with my business partner, and just it got really unhealthy. And I was in a darker, darker place. And it wasn't until going to that church really opened my eyes to contribution and to giving and to service and to that nothing matters more than people. And so I wanted to share that, you know, that story on, you know, who I was before John and before going to church and becoming a person of faith, becoming a believer. And then, gosh, that was 2008 since it started taking me. And so it's been 16 years that I've been going to church practically every Sunday, and give it up to Trinity Baptist Church in New York City, to Grace Presbyterian Church in the Hamptons, in Watermill in the Hamptons, because we actually looked at a bunch, and that was the one that we love, Mark Middlecoff and Leslie over there. And then we were at Black Rock Church in Fairfield, Connecticut. Give it up to Black Rock, Pastor Stephen, and my buddy Rob, and just all the folks that I met through there. And then I ended up, now we moved to Tampa, Florida, and now we go to Grace Family Church. Give it up to the Craig and Debbie, and who founded the church, and just that incredible community. We feel so grateful. So, but by the way, all the leadership work, all my She Summits, my book, everything has always been secular, like non-religious. I'm just a person of faith. I just share the fact that I'm a believer. I share that when I go into Fortune 500 companies, ESPN, Morgan Stanley, PepsiCo. I mean, I've worked at, you know, Bacardi, the biggest brands out there, American Express. And when I go in and do my How We Rise leadership talks, or I do a talk on whole self leadership, and because I've written books and all that jam, is, you know, I talk about purpose-driven leadership and conscious leadership and leading our whole lives, right? As the organization, like treating our whole lives as the organizations we're leading. And I it's not Christian content. It's just, I just share that I happen to be a person of faith, and that it was basically that journey, you know, when I met John and I started going, that's actually what really inspired She Summit and me wanting to, you know, interview hundreds of inspirational women at the time. And I launched ClaudiaChan.com in 2012, and I'd interviewed over 200 amazing women because that's where I wanted to focus first. I wanted to focus on the population of women because of statistics globally and nationally, you know, first worlds to third worlds and the status of women and girls. I really wanted, you know, women in the developed world, like women in like, you know, major in affluence, right? In New York, all the major cities. And I wanted America to care about women's issues, because if women don't care about women's issues, then, you know, self-esteem will continue to stay as low as it is, or the gender pay gap, or the lack of, you know, funds and capital that go to women, and all those, or the, you know, the promotion opportunities in the workplace. And so if women aren't, you know, standing up for women, then who is? And so that was the first era, the first sort of group that I focused on, you know, in 2012 when I launched the first She Summit and a leadership conference. And it wasn't just like empowering women, it was inspiring them to align with their whole selves and step into their whole self power, but it was also to lift change for other women's issues. And then that took me into all kinds of stuff. But now, of course, I'm going on a tangent and want to get back to John, which is it's so interesting because we are so different, and we're the couple that battles and all those things. But when I look at when I you know I just started going off on a tangent about how much, you know, the work that I've done in society, and I look back at everything in my life, and I say to myself, John was like my biggest change maker in my life. Not only because he took me to church, but also, you know, he made me a better person by being a person of faith himself, like because he's such a good person. And even though we battle on like so many things, and even though we're both type A's and we're both, you know, we'll both say it as opposed to hold it in, and then we'll go at it in front of the kids sometimes, and then we tell them, you know how you guys fight a lot? It's because you love each other. The people that love each other fight the most. No, but seriously, he's my like biggest change maker because he brought me to God. And that completely changed who I was. And the discipline around that and the modeling of that and the work that he's done on himself to be a better person and to elevate his character. And then also, I would say, of course, the other biggest change maker were my parents, and especially my mother. I mean, they're probably at the same level of impact and change in my life. And I want to just take a moment and to close this conversation, which I know was about, you know, in this February series of nothing matters more than people and nothing matters more than, you know, relationships and also just really, I want to lock into this spouse. If you are married, if you're going to get married one day and you're looking for that, who that spouse is going to be, what I'll say to you is just, you know, in as a person of faith, like they say, the number one priority is God, is rooting yourself in this bigger spirit, right? Like that we're all on this planet for this limited amount of time, and to be a good person. And to give, and to not just take and live in this planet and live in this earth and take, but to actually like live, experience, journey, but then contribute, and then contribute. And whether it's giving your time, whether it's helping people, whatever context it is, but like the number one thing is we get lost in that we've got to love people, and that so number one is God at the top of the triangle, and the second one is your spouse. And I think that, you know, since my profession now, my core platform is this private coaching practice and community called Inner Circle, Claudia Chan's Inner Circle. And I actually coach both women and men. in the private practice. But the circle is actually women only. The community is a women's community, but my coaching, my private one-on-one coaching is for women and men. And I've got a lot of amazing male clients. Anyway, so that, you know, all I'm helping, I mean, we're in 2024, we're in a time right now where mental health crisis is real. Burnout is out of control. The level and the rise in chronic illness to cancer to the mind, body, the stress that people feel and how that impacts your body. And the burnout crisis is real. And so at a time when I look at chronic busy families and professionals, and we tend to put the spouse, like we put ourselves to the bottom, we put our marriage to the bottom, that connection time, those date nights, those times to sync and align and love on each other and tell each other how amazing they are and do, whether it's acts of service or words of affirmation or quality time or gifts or whatever your love language is for your partner, you know, we put that to the bottom of the list. And then, so, you know, we're in a paradigm where, you know, we've been a paradigm where society and culture has created a way of living, work-life experience, where we put like 80% is about work and provision and making it. And then it's children, right? Like they have to be fed and they're like the most important thing next to the work in terms of where our time goes. And then maybe again on the bottom of the list is like community, is your spouse, your partner, dating, and your own self-care and health and going to the doctor's appointments and all those things. And most people wait for a breakdown to break through. And what I'll just say is that partner, prioritizing that partner, prioritizing that spouse is what I've been taught, because you are the co-CEOs, the co-leaders of your family organization, and the success of your careers and the success of your children and, you know, what they end up, you know, that inner resilience that they're going to build, that security that they're going to feel, like nothing's going to matter more than your relationship with your spouse. And so being on the same page or working on each other more for yourselves. And the thing is that people, like couples, individuals, we do bring our high levels of sensitivities and traumas and, you know, what triggers us to the table, right? Like we do. And we're two different people coming from different journeys and different experiences and different everything. And so you're going to have differences, and you don't want to marry yourself anyway. So expect the differences, but you need the time and the space to work on those differences and to find ways to catch each other, to find ways that when you're in a trigger or you're in a moment where you're not being fed or you feel neglected, and like you just can't let that stuff, just linger. You know, you got to really address it at some point and prioritize it. Because if that is healthy, then that is the core foundation you plug into. And honestly, to help that is to plug into a mutual belief system, right? For me and John, it's faith, it's Christianity, but for you, it could be something else. So, or create that system together, you know, like just like you create a foundational strategy plan for your business, create that for your family, create that for your home, prioritize that. That is the priority. And then everything else will fall into place if you have that in place. So closing up here on, you know, the series on nothing matters more than people, and really in a family, the number one relationship is you and your spouse. And if you are dating and you are like seeking for the right one, you know, you're really looking for a partner to do life with, to create an organization with, a family organization with. And even if that's a pet, you know, like a solo childless organization. And that's my vision. I have a vision that we're going to have a future where we're going to reverse the paradigm of work-life experience so that, you know, spirit and faith and joy, passion, purpose is our number one thing that we plug into. We prioritize, we give ourselves that time every day. And the second thing is our partner and really making sure that those are the things at the top of the list. That's the vision I have for the new future. I hope you create it with me and learn more about my work.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope this message seeded something in your soul. Friends, life is short. The days are fleeing. Do not wait for a breakdown to break through to a higher and better experience of life. Learn more about my programs at claudiachan.com, and I cannot wait to support you.